Well, next, 2025, a year when it took longer than usual to form a government and elect a Taoiseach. Another year housing targets look a long way from being met. A year of uncertainty with tariff threats and Trump turbulence internationally. So with all that in mind, what can we expect in 2026 for the economy and for the government? And is there potential gain for the opposition? Well, to look ahead at the politics of the coming year, we're joined by Gerard Howlan, a former Fianna Fáil government advisor and now political commentator and Irish Times columnist. Good afternoon, Gerry. Thanks for coming in.
Hello, Keane.
So let's start with populist politics. Rumblings in the newspapers today. Tax cuts if conditions allow, according to Finance Minister Simon Harris. Is that policy or politics?
Well, it's certainly politics. The tax cut, of course, that's planned, that's penciled in for this year, will come on the 1st of July when VAT for catering businesses goes from 13.5% to 9%. In a full year, that'll cost somewhere between 600 and 700 million. And that is the opposite of prudence. It meant that in this calendar year, everyone who pays PAYE isn't getting whatever bit of a cut they might have had if that other cut hadn't been provided for. So that's the budget that Taoiseach Minister of Finance Harris has implemented.
And then running in the background, you have prices continuing to rise, food inflation set to reach 3.7% this year. No more one-off measures, according to Simon Harris today. Isn't the reality here that there's few votes in fiscal prudence?
Well, there is no fiscal prudence because the government has told us in its medium-term plan that it intends to raise current spending by over 6% year-on-year every year for the life of this government. That's not prudence or restraint of any kind.
It's 6%.
Yes. It's 6%, which will increase public spending by 50% between now and the next election, by 2030, which is about the time of the next election, in a context where we've already doubled public spending in the last 10 years. If anyone thinks that these increased spending this year in 2025 is about 9%, so if anyone thinks that this is anything resembling prudence as distinct from a wild night in Las Vegas, they really need to check up on their basic economics.
Is that the political vulnerability there then?
The political vulnerability is that we are now so accustomed to such extraordinary increases in spending that we have such expectation that somebody could actually stand up with a straight face and say that further increasing public spending, current spending, by 6% a year, year on year, is prudent. It's not. It's nothing of the kind. But it is the rabbit hole we as a country and as a public conversation are now down inside.
Do voters want to hear about prudence when they're finding things hard?
No, they don't want to hear about prudence. But what they don't have is the benefit of anyone, anywhere on the political spectrum, in or out of government, who's prepared to talk the facts and the truth to them.
You look at housing, the central bank says the 2030 target of 300,000 homes is unlikely. So at what point does the gap between targets and delivery become a credibility problem, or is it there already?
Well, the credibility problem is clearly there already. I think the chance the government has in relation to housing is not to get to a point by 2029 or 2030 where the cost of housing, the affordability of housing is coming down. I don't see any chance of that happening. The one chance they have is that we will see enough shovels on the ground, enough houses to being built, that we will by 2028 or 2029 come to think and to believe that they do have a plan that is beginning to work. But they're far away from there, and we, the people, are far away from believing that they have that plan in hand.
What's the gain in this for the opposition?
Well, the opposition are there to take advantage of the government's problems, which are many and myriad.
Like, housing isn't a new challenge. It's been there, and they haven't capitalised to any great extent.
No, and the fact is, and it's not a compliment to the opposition, is that an unpopular government that the people were not in love with got back into government because the opposition failed to convince that they were oven ready to govern.
So when you look at the opposition parties on the back of the presidential election, there was talk about the united left, but that certainly won't be the case as we head towards two by-elections.
No, they won't be united in the by-elections. The question is, will they transfer to one another regardless? And then who are the winners among the united left afterwards? And what effect does that have on their internal dynamic? And there are other decisions, big decisions facing Ireland next year. For example, Mercosur. Our vote on that, the government needlessly reversed itself into a cul-de-sac on that, saying we wouldn't support it unless terms and conditions were met, which are probably realistic. The Italians, which are veering away, now appear to be veering back. If they're back on side for whatever reason, Ireland will be pinned to the corner on this by the Commission to vote in favour, and that's going to be politically very difficult, and that in turn will feed into the by-elections, not in Dublin Central, I suspect, but perhaps more in Galway West.
And what will be the bigger issues? Will it be migration, health, housing? How can the opposition parties or whoever wants to win those by-elections win?
Well, their opportunity, of course, is to talk up the government's difficulties, to talk up people's sense of anger and sense of complaint. What they have not done convincingly is the reason they're still in opposition after all these years, is convince people that they collectively or individually vis-a-vis their policies are a better alternative. There's no sign of them yet, by the way, doing that. The Catherine Connolly presidential election, which was a stunning achievement, wasn't about policies for government. It was about personality. And she, President Connolly, was convincing to us, the people, in that respect. But it's a far, far cry away from convincing us that they are an alternative government. And their likely success in the by-elections, we should be careful not to confuse the difference. There's a world of difference.
Coalition stability. Simon Harris saying today he's a good interpersonal relationship with Taoiseach Micheál Martin and they've gotten to know each other better since the election. But then you see Simon Harris has a lot of power in finance. Could this bring tension?
Of course it could, and perhaps it already is. I can't imagine reading the Taoiseach, the Minister for Finance's multiple interviews in today's papers has raised a degree of fraternity in government. And let's see how he, as Minister for Finance, rolls out those sentiments he expressed this morning over the next year into a budget in October.
Does all that feed into a subconscious electoral fear rather than a shared purpose in government?
I don't have a sense of a shared purpose in government. This is a coalition that really doesn't have a critical centre in terms of purpose. The last government had multiple crises in terms of COVID, in terms of inflation, in terms of Ukraine. It also had the Greens that had a very concerted agenda. None of those factors apply, and there isn't a sense really of something driving our shared purpose in this government. And that is why, 1 year later, the least legislation passed of any government in its first year in donkey's years, and there's no sense of them having that shared purpose to do great things or indeed to do anything much at all.
Well, we've talked a good bit about Simon Harris. Then you have Fianna Fáil after the presidential debacle. Is Micheál Martin out of danger?
No, but I don't think his demise is imminent. Of all the party leaders, he's the one least likely to lead his party into the next election. Where is he today? I'd say the light is still flashing amber on him in terms of his leadership of Fianna Fáil. But I always said if he got through this Christmas, he had a good chance of getting to next Christmas. And while Christmas liturgically
but
is
you
not
know, if
over...
But that light is flashing amber, if leadership jitters return, we heard Pat the Cope Gallagher saying after the parliamentary party meeting this month that the leadership issue isn't over. What could those jitters ultimately mean for coalition politics and for the government's ability to govern?
It's not over for Pat de Cope Gallagher, but we've no sense really that a group in the middle of the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party is prepared to move at this juncture. And unless they are, that's it for now. In relation to the jitters within Fianna Fáil preambulating around the government more widely, I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. These things tend to be restricted to inside the party concerned.
Well, much to watch
indeed
out for in 2026. Gerard Howlin, thanks for coming into us this afternoon.